This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey everyone, welcome into the weekend edition of the KE Report. My name is Corey Fleck and I appreciate you tuning in on this weekend as well as all the comments and emails that I got throughout the week. That was a busy, however shortened trading week, and it was a very noteworthy week, I think, where we saw some pretty significant moves, especially in the safe haven assets. I am kicking off this show with Jesse Felder, founder and editor of the Felder Report. Now, Jesse, before we get into the more aggressive moves in safe havens, let's talk about the general equity markets here in the U.S. It's pretty mind-boggling, I think, to see just how almost straight up these markets have gone, shaking off some black swan events and continuing to shake off this whole coronavirus. But the fact of the matter is, it seems like investors are euphorically bullish right now. The fundamentals might not be supporting it, but let's start off with this general bullish attitude continuing in the U.S. equity markets.
Yeah, I mean, it's absolutely astounding. It's something we've never seen before in the markets, this amount of euphoric activity in equities and in the options markets, really. You know, my friend Jason Gepford has pointed it out over the last week or so, how much call buying we've seen in the markets, and it's greater than, you know, far greater than anything we've ever seen before. Whether you look at just over the last two-week period or six-week period, you know, the amount of call buying that we've seen, you know, is 60% greater than anything we've ever seen before in history, including the peak of the dot-com mania. So traders are absolutely almost panic buying upside, call option exposure right now, which stands in, you know, totally stark contrast to the deteriorating fundamentals. It's something I've never seen before in my career. You know, at least during the dot-com mania, a lot of these stocks were seeing, you know, sales growth, you know, through the roof and all this kind of stuff, or whatever it was, eyeballs, you know, growth. But right now, in terms of the macro types of, you know, indicators for stocks, it's not good. We're seeing stock buyback activity so far this year is down way off the last, you know, average of the 5 years of buyback activity. We're seeing, you know, and that's been one of the most important sources of demand for stocks. We're seeing signs of recession pop up in a bunch of different places. The job openings number last week was horrendous. It was, you know, basically a recessionary number. And if you look at any kind of quantitative model of recession that includes the yield curve and, you know, the employment numbers and all that kind of stuff, you're looking at like a 70-75% chance of recession this year. And the market's pricing in, you know, 2% chance or less of recession. And, you know, the Fed is also telling us that they're getting ready to end the greatest liquidity injection into the markets of all time. You know, that they said, you know, by April, we're going to be winding this thing up. And normally markets start pricing that in, you know, ahead of time. And, you know, this is all not even to mention the fact that the, you know, one of the largest economies on the planet has essentially been shut down for weeks. And that affects every multinational company in the S&P 500. So, and I'm talking about the coronavirus or COVID-19, whatever you want to call it. So we have all of these signs, you know, with earnings growth being, you know, paltry at best. And all these things that are, you know, basically are completely unsupportive of higher stock prices. At the same time, you have this massive euphoric buying that's pushing prices higher right now. It's a huge dichotomy. Like I said, I've never seen anything like it before.
All right, let's break down some of these components. First being that coronavirus and the shutdown of a lot of factories in China. It was shocking this week to see Apple come out on Monday, the day that the markets were closed, say that they're going to miss first quarter revenue projections. They didn't give any more forward insights, but this did cause the stock, Apple stock, to open fairly significantly down on Tuesday, but it started to get the buy right back shortly after that. Really, even throughout Tuesday, it was getting a buy slightly back, and then Wednesday also heading higher. This, I think, is such a telling sign here that it doesn't seem like the markets care about the coronavirus. So, we don't know how long it's going to be around for, but that comment on the Fed ending what you call the biggest liquidity injections ever, do you think that the market is not paying as much attention or trying to price in the end of this Fed liquidity because of the fact that the Fed said, if needed, they will step back into the market?
You know, I don't think really, I mean, this call buying is being driven by anything but greed. When you see the massive amount of call buying in stocks like Tesla and Virgin Galactic, this is where we're seeing it. And so the people who are buying these call options, they don't care about the Fed. They don't care about the economy. They don't care about earnings. They're clearly only buying. It's very much similar to a Ponzi scheme. They're buying because they think somebody else is going to come in and pay them more money for their shares or their calls tomorrow or next week. And it's literally just a pure momentum trade driven by, you know, the traditional greed that you see, in a speculative mania. So, you know, we can talk about the Fed, we can talk about all these different things and what the market might be pricing in or should be pricing in, but really what's driving equity prices right now is none of these things. It has nothing to do with fundamentals. It has everything to do with just trying to find a greater fool to pay them more money tomorrow or the next day.
But it seems like these greater fools are out there, right? These markets have gone almost straight up. I don't know what else to say. Like, is this not the greater fool theory that keeps on working?
Well, you have to look at it, you know, through time. What was driving prices, over the past two or three years, right? We had a big some blow off similar to today into late 17, early 18. A lot of that was driven by the short volatility trade, which is very similar to this call option trade here. Is people just shorting volatility dampens equity, volatility and forces hedgers the market makers who end up being long volatility to buy stocks, and it's a self, kind of perpetuating process until we get Volmageddon. Prices essentially have a mini crash in February of 2018. Then we saw the fourth quarter sell-off that year as earnings started to go in the toilet and the Fed was, had tightened too much. Stocks got really oversold into late 18 and rallied. Last year's rally, you could argue, was that turnaround in the Fed going from tightening, being on autopilot and tightening, to now we're not going to be tightening anymore and we're actually loosening. But this last stage, this last basically since October, November of last year, this last 3, 4, 5 months is really been driven purely by none of those kind of fundamental drivers that I mentioned earlier. It's driven entirely by speculative call buying, and it's not just call buying. You look at fund flows into technology sector ETFs and things, and these things are running at annualized rates that are 10 times greater than anything we've seen before in history. So the massive speculative flows into stocks are right now are usually the types of things you see at a blow off, during a blow off. And like I said, it's kind of similar to what we saw in the prior to Volmageddon, when you had that short volatility trade get hugely crowded. Right now we're seeing a hugely crowded trade in tech and in call options related to tech stocks.
All right, Jesse, we're going to have to wrap up the first segment here, but I am having you back on next segment. We'll dive a little bit more into some of your comments regarding buybacks, also a general look at how the world is viewing U.S. equity markets, which could be the reason why they continue to outperform and seemingly continue to shake off any sort of bad or worrisome news. We will also get into some other sectors where you see an opportunity. Everybody, stick around. Jesse and I are going to be right back.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
With more people listening to radio than visit Google, Facebook, or YouTube, from the very young to the very old, everyone listens to radio. Pillow companies, alarm, identity theft, nutrition, insurance, banking, automotive, the list goes on and on. Billion-dollar businesses, why? The answer is radio, the media everyone tunes into. Find out how effective and affordable radio can be for your business. Contact 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com.
The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, the Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at ShopSuperTea.com or call 818-984-6100. That's ShopSuperTea.com, 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Hey everyone, Proactive MD has an incredible offer for our radio listeners only. Stay tuned for our exclusive offer that includes a free charcoal pore cleansing brush and free shipping. Proactive MD with prescription strength adapalene can heal and prevent future breakouts. Today, for just $19.95, we're offering listeners the three-piece Proactive MD system with free shipping, plus a free gift, the new charcoal pore cleansing brush. Get this exclusive offer by calling now, 1-800-583-8662, or go to proactive.com. And enter promo code radio. You heard right. Proactive MD plus free shipping and a free gift. The new charcoal pore cleansing brush. You'll get all this for just $19.95 and their 60-day money-back guarantee. You're guaranteed to get clear and stay clear, or you get your money back. Call now. 1-800-583-8662. That's 1-800-583-8662. Or go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio. Again, go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with Reputation Defender. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with Reputation Defender. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with Reputation Defender. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to chat with Jesse Felder. Now, Jesse, just a quick comment regarding the slowdown in buybacks that you mentioned in the last segment. Yes, we are seeing buybacks down, but over the last few years, the argument was that buybacks were the ones really supporting the rise in equity markets and the stability of the equity markets. Markets are still going up, but the buybacks aren't there. What's happening here?
Yeah, so buybacks have been essentially the only source, net source of demand for equities over the last 10 years. If you look at retail flows and things, as much money has flowed into the market as has flowed out, and a lot of that is just demographics, as you have in a lot of investors. You look at who owns the equity market, and it's baby boomers, essentially. And baby boomers are aging, and they're having to sell off investments in order to fund their retirement years. And so you're seeing essentially net inflows into the market have been zero for the past 10 years, and really the only net buying has come from companies buying back their own stock. So that's really been by far the most important source of demand for equities. And like I said, when you see that now is, you know, trending, you look at announced buybacks so far in January and February, and it's down, you know, more than 50% from the last 5 years. And so this important source of demand is really waning, and that comes down to falling profit margins. You know, profit margins are getting squeezed. Profit margins have been falling for 4 or 5 years now, and so companies just don't have as much cash flow to buy back stock as they have. A lot of it was also debt financed over the past 10 years, and companies are reaching their debt limits. We're starting to see, you know, companies just in the last couple of weeks, Kraft Heinz and Macy's get downgraded to junk. And, you know, there's just signs that corporate debt has kind of is potentially reaching its limits, too, which also puts a damper on buybacks.
So, Jesse, do you think that there could be a balance here between, in all fairness, a lot of other countries and established economies are doing worse than the U.S.? Yes, the U.S. doesn't have screaming numbers, but they are still chugging along, arguably better than a lot of these other established economies. Could that keep some sort of a buy in the U.S. equity markets simply from international players and those investors that need to put their money somewhere?
You know, that's absolutely been another important driver is money flowing out of, you know, is trying to escape negative yields overseas in Japan and Europe to try and find some positive yield here in the United States. But one of the metrics I use to kind of track this is the spread between the 10-year yield, the German 10-year yield, and the 10-year treasury. And so long as that was widening, meaning that, you know, our yield was higher than the German yield and getting higher, you know, that was positive for flows into our assets. But over the past 9 months or so, we've seen that yield begin to narrow. And that has a high correlation with stocks, has a high correlation with the dollar, lots of different things. And so for me, that's just an example of, you know, our yields aren't as relatively attractive as they have been over the past several years, and they're certainly not going in the right direction. And so I think you've seen the dollar scream higher over the last few weeks, and so probably there's been a safety trade of assets, you know, with maybe as a result of the coronavirus, people looking to say, I want to own dollars in that type of an environment. But, you know, with those spreads moving the wrong direction, I don't think that's a sustainable trade.
All right, so let's talk about the move that we saw even more aggressively this week, but in all fairness has been underway now for maybe 6 months, maybe even a year. That is a move more into safe havens. Gold had a bit of a breakout, silver moved up, treasuries continued to move up, U.S. dollar also looked at as a safe haven. That also broke out to a three-year high. How sustainable is this trend?
Well, you know, I've been bearish on the dollar, you know, dating back to early 17, late 16. The dollar sold off hard into early 18, but it's essentially been rallying since then. You know, for the past couple of years, we've had a pretty nice dollar rally. You know, it could continue, I guess, probably in the short run, but, you know, I think as I've told your listeners before, for me, the number one indicator for the dollar is the direction of the federal deficit relative to GDP. And with this thing widening, you know, I think we're approaching 5.5%. And, you know, we're talking about, you know, Trump wants more tax cuts, and it looks like he's going to be running against Bernie, and if Bernie gets elected, the deficit's probably going to, you know, either way, the deficit's going to widen. And that's a net bearish for the dollar. So I think while we, you know, the dollar might continue to benefit in the short run, it has some nice momentum to the upside right now. You know, the longer term fundamentals are not good for dollars.
So then is that going to support, say, a move higher in precious metals as well then?
That's what I've thought. I think this next move higher for gold needs to be driven by a dollar sell-off. I think gold is going to explode higher at some point. I mean, it's doing really well right now with getting over 1600, but I still doubt that we're at the point of it, of this next big move higher in gold, simply because positioning is really far too bullish, and the dollar is not supportive of a higher move in gold right now. Like I said, I've been saying for a long time, I'm longer term very bullish on gold, and I maintain a core position in gold right now. But to get tactically bullish, I think it probably needs to have somewhat of a correction first. And I don't know what would drive that, but I think, you know, the positioning is just too crowded on the long side right now in gold. But yeah, I do think at some point, maybe later this year, the dollar could roll over hard and gold will just explode higher.
Now, I know that you follow some of the larger gold stocks, and their earnings reports have actually been quite solid recently, not surprisingly, because of how much better the gold price has done, and that directly impacts their bottom line. Do you still see the opportunity in the majors? Are you looking down the line at all? Where are you planning on investing?
Yeah, I've been trading around positions in the majors. I bought some. I've owned Newmont, you know, actually Goldcorp was my original, stock that I've been kind of trading since 2015-ish. And, you know, with the merger with Newmont, I kept looking at that one, and it's done, you know, really well relative to the rest of the group. I mean, pushing to new highs again this week. Another one that I liked, I think, you know, I bought, you know, kind of last spring, when it just got insanely ridiculously cheap, was Pan American Silver. And that one is, you know, almost tripled off of its lows. And so I'm not super, you know, bullish or as bullish on those as I was, towards the middle of last year. But I still kind of, like I said, have core positions in those. I'd love to see them come back. You know, in bull markets, you don't always get the opportunity to get a correction and get good buying opportunities. But that's kind of what I'm waiting for to get tactically bullish again.
All right. We're going to wrap it up there. Jesse, always great chatting with you. Thanks for taking some time on this weekend show. I hope you have a great rest of your weekend, a great rest of your February. I'm sure we will be chatting sometime next month. Thanks for your time, Jesse.
Thanks, Corey.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what Dr. Joe has to say.
As you know, I'm one of the doctors that Don talks about, because 4 years ago, I was diagnosed with high blood pressure. Runs in my family on the mother's side. You know, I come from an athletic background. You know, I did a lot of running throughout my life, and I did triathlons. When I was trying to run some years back, I was getting short of breath, which is a little bit of a congestive heart failure. The Extendivite, that shortness of breath and that coughing started going away, and I was able to run longer and longer distances. And it took a while, though. So now I'm able to do, you know, 3.5 miles with my dog, and no problem. I don't stop. Not anymore. So I'm just saying, you need to stick with the program, and you got to change some lifestyle things, too.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
You USA Radio News with Wendy King.
For the first time in this primary and caucus season, Democratic presidential hopefuls will go before a racially diverse electorate. The Nevada caucuses are the third contest after Iowa and New Hampshire, and Bernie Sanders is leading in the polls. A new poll shows Sanders, who is a self-described Democratic socialist, way out in front in Nevada. Moderate Pete Buttigieg, who was neck and neck with Sanders in the first two contests, is going after the Vermont senator for his more extreme positions.
Even though he's got a very strong base of support, that's clearly not what most Democrats want.
Buttigieg has been focusing on key issues for Democrats, including climate change and health care. Former Vice President Joe Biden is now courting labor unions.
I promise you, you will not regret having supported me.
This is USA Radio News.
Dish TV is better than cable TV. Why? Because you can save 45% on packages compared to your high-priced cable bill. Wow. Take those giant scissors out and cut the cable. And save with Dish TV. Plus, you get a free DVR upgrade to record your favorite shows and free installation. And with Dish Anywhere, you can watch TV for free on your mobile device. Act fast. You can save hundreds of dollars. Does your cable company do that for you? I don't think so. Get all the best TV programming at your fingertips at a fraction of the price of cable TV. So say adios, arrivederci, goodbye to the high cable bill, and save up to 45% on Dish TV packages today. These are limited time offers and can change at any time. Call fast. 800-610-5739. 800-610-5739. 800-610-5739. That's 800-610-5739.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $10,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-976-1460. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-976-1460. That's 1-800-976-1460. 1-800-976-1460.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. I hope everybody enjoyed those first two segments with Jesse Felder. I'm happy to say that the last two segments, we're going to wrap up the first hour here with Rick Bensignor. He is the president of Bensignor Investment Strategies. Also writes his institutional newsletter called Supposedly Irrelevant Factors, which is read by some of the most successful hedge funds in the world. So, Rick, I really do appreciate you taking time on our show on a fairly regular basis now. Let's start off, before we get into some of the market moves, with this, let's call it a black cloud hanging over the markets, although it hasn't had a huge impact on the markets. That is this coronavirus. I personally thought that this was going to be a shorter worry for a lot of the markets, but this coronavirus, it's hanging around. We're getting a whole lot of conflicting stories out of China, but one thing that we have gotten more and more news on is the fact of more factories, manufacturing factories in China that are shut down. And some of these are supplying the largest companies in the U.S. Apple had a warning. I think we will have some more warnings coming out of some of the automakers in the U.S. and around the world. Take us through how you are viewing this coronavirus when it comes to not just the markets, but also what's going on economically around the world.
Well, Corey, thanks for having me again. And just so your listeners know, I don't come from the medical
world. So whatever I say is just my opinion on what I've read, and basically whatever it is what most people can read. The one thing I will add to that is that I have a very well-placed source who for the last 2 months has been giving me information about the coronavirus from the medical community here in the U.S., and he's been spot on. And the information that he's often gives me is that we're not prepared for it in the way that many people think. And of course, look, I don't, and I've said this before in multiple media outlets, I don't trust, and I don't know how anybody can trust what comes out of China as far as correct or being correct information. I really can't trust it, given their history of misinformation. So what they're telling us, we can't really base a heck of a lot on, and you have to assume it's worse than they're telling you. But I think even in the Western world, I'm not sure we can completely trust what our own government says, and just simply because if this thing is worse than most people expect, they can't tell us, per se. They don't want to create a panic here in the U.S. So my hunch has been all along that this is something more for the marketplace and for investors to reckon with, both from, let's say, the market perspective, but also from, you know, personal health. Whether it's – it was interesting. Today on CNBC, one of their commentators had mentioned that – and I kind of agree with this – that U.S. investors have not paid a heck of a lot of attention to this, in the sense that we had the quick January sell-off, and then we've kind of been straight up since until the last couple of days, where it's Wednesday of this week that we made all-time highs. So, you know, we sold off a percent or so in the last 2 days of trading, but or actually even a little more than that. But the thing is, we're still just a couple of days off of all-time highs, and the way it's been focused on in the U.S. is it's not been looked at as being an important headwind for the market, because people have pushed the market to all-time highs this week. I do think that this is potentially a bigger problem than people expect. It's why I have institutional exposure in the market now at a minimum above carrying a full S&P invested portfolio. We've taken down what we will call levered longs, the extra exposure that I put on when I'm bullish the market to outperform. I put on extra, and you know, hedge funds have a way of being able to lever their exposure so that they actually can often go as much as 30% above the value of what they have gain more than the market. And I've got that right now down at only about 25% extra leverage of what they could put in. And for equity long-short portfolios, so a lot of hedge funds out there run what they call neutral equity, neutral books. So they might be long Home Depot and short Lowe's against it, and those, you know, well, the long Pepsi, short Coca-Cola, and just making those up. I'm not saying that's how they're positioned, but that's what a pair trade would be. I've got that completely neutral, which means they're only long $1 in value for every $1 short. So that's as neutral as I've been in a long time. And that's mostly because of my feeling that the coronavirus, you don't really want to have levered long exposure.
Well, and that's the interesting thing here, Rick, is that, yes, fine, you're neutral, but there has got to be a lot of other money managers out there that are still overly exposed to these U.S. markets, because they have practically gone straight up ever since October of last year. And even in the face of the coronavirus, they dropped for that 1 week in, I think it was middle to late January, and started to get a buy again. So what's going on here? Why is everybody still ignoring it?
Because there's, let's put this in the category, I'll use a behavioral finance term here, of cognitive dissonance. And the argument inside a portfolio manager's own head about doing what they think they should do versus doing what they need to do in order to still have a job. with this market having moved up like it has, and, you know, the average estimate from the sell side of Wall Street for the year-end 2020 target for the S&P is 3368. Right, so we were there just yesterday and even earlier today. So we're at the year-end target, and that's because the market moved up faster at the beginning of the year than most people thought, and they didn't expect this year to have a lot of growth. Yet, if you're a portfolio manager, if you weren't buying early in the year, you're, again, behind your benchmarks. The same story you and I talked about multiple times last year. And that's why we kept seeing the market move higher and higher and higher, especially as fourth quarter went on, is so many portfolio managers were beneath their benchmarks. So they come into this year kind of scared with that, too, knowing that if the market starts moving up, even if they don't think it's the right thing to do, they kind of have to do it if they want to keep their investors investing in their fund. Otherwise, they lose assets, and that's kind of the worst thing for these guys. So you've got intellectual type of thinking that may say, given what's going on in the medical community from a coronavirus point of view, I really don't want to be overly weight the market. And yet, 2 days ago, you know, Wednesday's close, all-time high. So there's this battle that even a portfolio manager has to do between trying to be rational and thinking what seems to make sense versus what so far has been somewhat of an irrational market that just keeps moving higher and higher. Now, the bulls are going to tell you it's not irrational. Earnings are great. Interest rates are low. There's no inflation. And there's slow growth. There's no reason not to be bullish the market. And then that's a valid point, too. And so far, that point has been winning because the market keeps making new all-time highs.
All right, Rick, we need to pause here for a commercial break on the radio stations. Just as a note, everyone listening on the radio, please visit our website, kereport.com. That is where you can hear the extended version of what Rick and I chat about. We are going to be back next segment, but radio time just does not allow us to share that whole interview with you. Everybody, stick around. We're going to be right back.
You're listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
I'm here with Scott Jusium, founder of OMG Tax. Tell us how your company helps our listeners out there who have a problem with the IRS.
My team of lawyers, enrolled agents, and licensed tax experts remove wage garnishments sometimes in the same day. We even have reduced the total debt some of our clients were required to pay through what is known as an offer in compromise.
Can you give us an example of somebody you help?
Oh, can I ever? We have taken a $500,000 liability with the IRS. Guess what? The client didn't pay a dime through the representation known as non-collectible status with the government.
If you owe the IRS more than $10,000 and you want to see if it's possible to pay a lot less, call OMG Tax right now for a free tax-saving consultation.
Call 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. That's 800-486-8112.
Join me, George Norrie, in Indian Wells, California, May 29th to June 1st for the Contact in the Desert UFO Conference, an epic weekend of exploration into UFOs, ancient civilizations, crop circles, and so much more. Over 150 lectures, panels, workshops, and events with leading experts, Paul Hellyer, Linda Moulton Howe, Nick Pope, Emery Smith, Stephen Greer, Russell Targ, Doc Wallach, Leslie Kane, and more. Get your tickets at contactinthedesert.com. It's time to make contact, contactinthedesert.com.
Hey guys, it's Sue Kosner, your favorite sexual health expert, with another version of Ask the Pro. This month, I got a letter from Sandy in Seattle about an explosive bedroom secret she and her husband recently discovered. She writes, "Dear Sue, my husband and I used to have a great life in the bedroom, but in the last few years, he has struggled. He's tried about everything, but nothing has worked. Then one day he came home and gave me a night I will never forget. He told me about this secret formula, Noxitril, that changed our life in the bedroom once and for all. Wow, Sandy, you beat me to it. I recommend Noxitril to every guy that struggles in the bedroom. It's the only one. Noxitril is all natural and works to increase blood flow fast. It's like that little blue pill on steroids. Noxitril has a special free bottle offer shipped discreetly to your door.
To find out how to get your bottle of Noxitril, call 800-421-0954. 800-421-0954. Get your free bottle for a limited time. Call now. 800-421-0954. 800-421-0954.
I don't even recognize myself anymore.
I'm really worried about him. His addiction. I haven't seen him like this. Ever.
Hey, look, I never wanted to start using. I knew the drill, but I was out of options.
I just want to tell him it's not your fault. There are people out there who can help. People who have felt your pain. They know what you're going through.
This has to stop. I'm losing everything. Everyone.
You've been strong your whole life. You can do this, but you have to reach out for help.
It's time. I can do this.
Addiction is a disease, and diseases need treatment.
Call Quit Drugs 321 now at 800-377-1456. 800-377-1456. That's 800-377-1456. Paid for by the Detox and Treatment Helpline.
All right, we are back continuing our discussion with Rick Bensignor. Rick, let's move over to some of the moves that we've seen in safe haven assets. It's very interesting to see gold moving higher, had a very significant breakout and close to the week. That's also as the U.S. dollar rolled over, but that relationship had been, well, hand in hand moving higher. What are your thoughts on some of the safe haven moves?
Interesting that gold is rallying like it is with the dollar rallying. Right. Typically, when the dollar moves up, gold goes down because gold is priced in U.S. dollars anywhere in the world. That's the benchmark is U.S. dollars. And so typically when the dollar moves up, gold moves down. And yet here we are. Gold had another big update today, another $25 gain. It's at futures closed at 1646. This is the highest level in 7 years that gold's had. And this is with the gold rallying for two straight months. So I think there's a lot of disconnects going on in the market. Gold is probably rallying. It's not because also when there's inflation fears, gold rallies. Well, there's virtually no inflation place in the market. Oil, you know, is in the low 50s. Components that typically make up the CPI are not showing any signs of inflation now, and yet gold's really moving higher. So now you got to think about, well, if the dollar is moving higher and gold is moving higher and there's no inflation, what's the reason for gold moving like it is? And I think it's the concern of growing debt that just continues to grow, and the concern over just kind of some of the things going on in the world, and coronavirus is kind of helping that bullish sense of using gold as a protection against other things going bad.
What about the drop in yields, too? We ended this week with the 30-year at a historic low, the 10-year below 1.5%. This also has to be playing into a more positive gold trade, but also showing still the amount of general fear that's around the markets.
Absolutely. So, you know, with the 30-year making a new all-time low today in yield terms, with the 10-year closing at 1.47%, that puts it, a dozen basis points or so from the all-time low. I think the all-time low was 1.34. We're very, we're 13 ticks away. But what you're seeing in the bond market to me also is not so much a fear of recession as it is a flight to safety. in the safest U.S. you know instruments, and with the dollar being strong, it's more and more reason why bonds can keep rallying. There is nowhere else to get yield, and I think people are kind of fetching for U.S. yields while they still can. If we take out the lows, the all-time lows, I've got a target at 1.25, and then I think the next one's down at like 0.96, something like that. So you have an inverted yield curve the last couple of days. So there's a lot of things here where traditionally the bond market is considered smart money relative to the equity market. And the world generally will look at clues from the bond market for what people are expecting in the economy than they would from stocks. And what the bond market's telling you is that there are some recessionary fears. You look at the equity markets, at least the U.S. equity markets, you're not seeing that, at least not on the large cap side, the mega cap side. If you look at Russell 2000, no, it never made new highs. If you look at mid cap, it barely made new highs and it has come right back off. It's only the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ composite that made new all-time highs. And, you know, it's half a dozen stocks that make up such a large portion of those indices. I think the other day I looked. I'll tell you, listeners, there's a good website to check out that's slick, the word like when you're cool, or slick, slickcharts.com. And this website, you can pull up the S&P, and it'll show you how much percent of the S&P is made up by groups of stocks. So I think it was 19 out of the 500 stocks that make up the S&P 500, only 19 of them made up 33% of the weighting, just 19 stocks. So, you know, there's a few huge names, and we know the like the FANG-type names. These half-dozen names are something like 20% of the S&P 500. So when we look at these indices, we look at them because that's what people are benchmarked to. But the underlying last week's report, I even said, you know, this is a mega cap rally. The mid caps and the small caps are not giving you the same picture as looking at the mega cap indices and what we would call cap weighted indices, because here the largest names have the biggest influence on the market. Breadth figures aren't looking terribly good. In any of those other cap weightings either. It's only the large cap. So if the fangy type names finally come under pressure, you're going to see, you know, the market and the breadth across the board start looking a heck of a lot worse than it is right now.
Yeah, these markets being led by the big tech names. But, hey, these tech companies are starting to come under a little pressure from regulators, governments around the world. That's a whole other conversation. Let's wrap it up just with a quick comment on central banks, more specifically the Fed. The argument right now is the Fed is so far behind where yields are that they're going to be forced to cut. And that has also been an argument that investors have used, that the Fed has your back in the market. They'll come in and save the markets in the case of a big drop, so why not keep on buying the dip? How are you viewing the Fed in this scenario?
So the marketplace is pricing in. If you look at Fed fund futures, it is pricing in later this year, mostly second half, a very high likelihood of at least one cut of 25 basis points, if not two. Earlier this week, one of the Fed and I don't remember if it was Powell or one of his other governors kind of intimated that we're not so quick to be cutting, even though the market is pricing this way. And the marketplace right now, investors are basically feeling that if something goes awry in the marketplace because of coronavirus, that not only will the U.S. Fed, but other central banks will be there to pump money into the system and, you know, allay fears and reduce downside risk, what in the past was, you know, basically called the Fed put. And that is a constant feeling that the Fed will be there to help. But the fact that Fed fund futures are pricing the marketplace the way they are already for cuts later this year. Even if we don't cut and the Fed, you know, stays pat, it either way you look at it, it kind of suggests that the Fed thinks the economy is okay and that if they don't need to cut because the market or the economy is doing okay, then they may only do that as a backstop if things really get bad. And therefore, their view is things are okay in the economy. The problem in the past has been that the Fed is usually late to the ballgame. And, you know, they have all the data and all these, you know, brilliant people working there, and yet they're often, the market is often smarter than the Fed is. It's a reality that's been that way for as long as I've been in this business. My guess is they would be there as a backstop if things really got bad, but that under normal market conditions, if the market sold off 5%, maybe even 10%, not because of coronavirus, but just because of how the market, you know, whatever is going to make it do that, but not something relating to a global pandemic, then they may not do anything at all. So I think it really has to do with how fast and furious a downdraft would be whenever and if it comes. And otherwise, the Fed is hinting that, you know what, we just may stay pat. Now, that goes in the face of what Trump wants. It goes in the face of how the market's pricing things right now. But that's at least what they indicated this week.
It's going to be interesting to see what the Fed does. It would definitely be a change if they do stand pat and don't move into these markets by cutting rates at least once this year. But I guess we're all just stuck waiting to see. Rick, it's a pleasure having you on the show. Thank you for joining me for this extended segment. We covered a lot, and it really was first time that we've dove a lot into this coronavirus and the fears that it is presenting moving forward for the economy and for global equities. Everybody, thank you for tuning in. Please keep the emails coming, fleck@kereport.com. Make sure you listen to those company updates from this week and last week. There were a lot from last week. And let me know if you want me to reach out to any companies that you hold in your portfolio. Rick, great chatting with you. Have a great weekend.
You too, Corey. Thanks so much.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
When I was a kid, I wanted to be just like Cal Ripken. It's definitely humbling to know that now people are calling me a hero. Instead of finding the IED with my metal detector, the IED found me first, and that resulted in double above-knee amputations. It's hard to describe the feeling of meeting somebody that you've always wanted to be like. There are people now that are looking up to you for their inspiration and to be their role model.
Visit saluteheroes.org to learn more.